scriptures that she received the Mashiach, Abayim, Mishpacha, Talmidim. As Rosh Hashiva said, that Chazal say you should not be, must be the person after Yud Beis Chodesh. Abayim ends Yud Beis Chodesh. Here you are, Yud Beis Chodesh. Normally, a Yortzeit would be within the Yud Beis Chodesh, but this year, the Yortzeit comes out after 12 months. Where Shiva said that when you say Divrei Sikaron, to talk about him, what's the difference between Hespin and Divrei Sikaron? Why is it called Hespin? Why is it called Divrei Sikaron? So in Kehelas, Shlomo HaMelech brings Itim, times, and he contrasts different times. And the times that he contrasts are opposites. The marshal Eslif Kvos is a time to cry, and Eslif Kvos is a time to be happy, to laugh. Opposites. The time of letters to be born, and Lamus, and the time to die. The opposites. There's an Eslif Chomer. The opposite is a Shalom. And it says about Hespin, it says, Eish Sfoid, Eish Rakoid. A time of Sfoid of Hespin and a time of Rakoid. So perhaps if we understand what Rakoid is, we can understand what Sfoid is. What is Rakoid? What is Rikud? Rikud is the physical expression of our joy, our happiness. The Mesameach, we're so happy, we want to express it. So we dance, we involve our goof in such a thing. Hespin is the opposite. We're saddened, we're mourning, we're lamenting. So we want to express that sadness with our emotions. And we cry and we mourn. And in fact, we used to hire Noshim at the Levayos to cry, to wail, to be over the tibur, to mourn the loss of the Nifter. So that we can't do anymore. We have to hold our emotions at bay, and we have to just intellectually discuss, as Rosh Hashiva did, the milas of Rav Kalman Zecher Tzedek Livracha. When I think about Rav Kalman, amongst his many attributes, many midos, there are three things that in my mind, and I'm sure in the mind of many, stand out. He was a magid shir par excellence. He was a magid shir. He gave over the shir in a way that few others were able to do. The clarity, the expression, getting across the message. But it didn't just come like that. He prepared that shir. He went over and over. He wrote over the shir. You could see him writing before the shir. He would write over. He wouldn't read through his notes. But he wrote it over to get clarity in his mind how to say it. What to say and what not to say. How to say it. What tone of voice should he say it in? Sometimes he would raise his voice to a high pitch. And sometimes would... it was a bit low to a whisper. All to get the attention of the bathroom and to get across the shiur that he's trying to teach. And he spent hours preparing that shiur. And the result was a shiur that had clarity, that was understandable, and the bathroom loved and wanted to hear it and took with them for the rest of their lives. It was like Rashi says, Rashi quotes in Mishpatim, Eivu Mishpatim, Ve'eivu Mishpatim, Asher Tosim Lifneihem. Rashi says, Kishulchan Aruchu Mucham, Lechor Lifnei Ha'odom. It's a table. Imagine a table that's set, and everything's in its place, and the food is ready to eat. You just have to partake of the meal. That was the Shulchan Aruch. That was the shear that Rav Kalman gave. Of course, we welcome the Shia, we ma'ayin to the Shia, but it was presented like a shulchan aruch to understand it, to grab it, and to eat it. That was the type of Shia that he gave. Beside the Magid Shia, he was a Rebbe who, as the Rosh Hashiva said, cared about his Talmidim. But he didn't just care about his Talmidim, but he was mashpia on the Talmidim. He was mashpia on the klal, on the shir, on the group together, and he was mashpia on the individual Talmidim. And he figured out what to learn and what to say, what each individual bacha needed. There wasn't one size fits all. This bacha needed to learn the Sirius Sharon, so he learned the Sirius Sharon, or he recommended him to learn the Sirius Sharon. This bacha needed Rabbeinu Yona. Another bacha needed something of Ali Shur, or the Sifsei Chaim, or from Ramatis Yom, different Hidoyim in Hashkot and Musar that the bacha needed. And he figured out each one. He planned it. He understood in his mind, what does this person need? He prepared it. He didn't just come and say a good vort. Bokhan came to his house Friday night, it wasn't not a vort, it wasn't just a vort. What did he say to be mashpi on them the best possible way? And he had a vast, almost encyclopedic knowledge of all the sforim, of the Hashkofa, the Musa sforim. The minute the new sefer came out, he would grab it. One time I had a new sefer, somebody gave me a new sefer. It came out maybe a couple of months. I went over to him, I said, well, come, I've seen it already. The minute it came out, he got it. Why? Because he read through the pages, the doctrine, to glean something that he could share with the Shia. And sometimes he would say, yes, it's called the sefer, but I can't use it. And I can't use it. There's nothing there that I will be able to use to mashpia my Talmidim. I can tell them a nice word, a nice chat, but my purpose is to be mashpia, and there's nothing there that I can use to be mashpia. And he taught Novi the same way. His Novi Shia was magnificent, but his Novi Shia wasn't just saying over the history of Klal Yisrael and throwing in a few minor chazal. He followed the direction of Moreinu Rabbeinu of Weinberg, Zeichus Tzadik, that the Chazal come from the Pshat. They're not two separate things. And he chose the Chazal that he would need it to bring out the message. His Novi Shia taught Yerushalayim. And he geared the whole Shia to that. That was the theme of the Shia. And he planned it, and he prepared it, and he read, and he looked. He gleaned for him to see how he could bring across that message in the Novi. And thirdly, he said a shmuzin to the rabbin. And his shmuzin were magnificent. And those shmuzin, he prepared the shmuzin for hours. A Shabbos afternoon by him was not a Shabbos of rest. It was hours of preparation. And what was marvel is that he would say a shmuzin, he would tell me, Simcha, I'm saying the shmuzin I said 4 years ago. So I said, okay, so what's the plan? No. And he would go over and prepare that shmuz, and how he could tweak it and make it more appropriate for this group of Talmidim. What he should leave out, what he should put in, what he should add, because what he should subtract. It was marvel. He put so many hours preparing a shir that he had said so many times. And he put all his kach into it, everything. When he came home after the shmuz, he was drained, literally, physically drained. Had no energy, because he put everything into that shir. It was his shmuz that ignited the Olam for the Chazara week, as we call it. And after that shmuz, there was a transformation in the Beis Medrash. There was an excitement. And everybody started the Chazar the Sefer, to learn the Sefer, and to get involved in Chazim the Sefer, and created that Kol Torah. And it's his shmooze that started that off. And his shmooze before Rosh Hashanah that created a feeling of Yemei Hadin. One said to me on more than one occasion, the Rambam made an El Ruach yet in the Medina. And he made an El Ruach. It was far cry from the Elul's of bygone years. And it didn't start until Erev Rosh Hashanah. But there was a Ruach of Rosh Hashanah that he created. He made that Ruach. And one year, many years ago, he wasn't able to say the Shmuz. And he had to find somebody else to say the Shmuz. And my Talmud said to me, do you think you'll be able to be Ma'or of the Olam, the way from Kamu was Ma'or of the Olam? He was Ma'or of the Olam. He brought the Marish into a Ruach of Rosh Hashanah of Yemei Hadin. And that was the Nekuda that ran through all these three things. He decided to give a message. He decided to stay over and to be Mashpia. And he put all his effort, everything, as the Rosh Hashiva said, he was Mavata on his Guruf, in order to give over that message to the Talmidim. That was the Nekuda, the preparation, Chazara, going over it. Preparing it, making it the right thing, what to say, what not to say, and how to say it. That was the common food of all these three things had. Whether it was the Shia of in Londres, whether it was the Hashpah and Talmidim, whether it was the Shmuz, it's a common theme of what should I say, how should I say it, and prepare myself to say it. And the Rebbe Weinberg recognized this. One time he wanted him to seize the reins of another yeshiva, because he felt he was the one who could turn that yeshiva around and bring out a ruach and create B'nai Torah. That was his prayer, a unique prayer. And because of this prayer that the Talmud had, he was able to create Talmidim. Talmidim today are mamish, begotten in their own right. Rashi Yeshiva, Rabbonim, Mashpiyim. He started them on their road to becoming what they became. And they in turn are now creating their own Talmidim, which all comes from the crown. And finally, it was this leader that made him such a good friend to all of us. Such a valuable friend. Because he wanted to know. He knew what to say. He prepared. He didn't just blurt something out. He thought, what did I say to you? How can I be machazik you? How can I be sameach you? How can I comfort you? How to say it? He prepared himself. He thought, prepared, and then said it. And that created relationships that lasted a lifetime. And this is his legacy. This is what he has left us. And if we can try to emulate that, even in one small way, then his memory, his calling is forever. And although he's no longer physically with us, but his lessons, his thought, our thoughts, are with him. We think about him when we make decisions, when we do things. And that's forever, that's permanent. And that should go to this generation, the next generation, to continue what he started and love forever until Mashiach came.